Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition, our new edition of Inside the NUHA. Inside the NUHA, the New England Women's Hockey Alliance, is sponsored by our friends at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. And for more information on all their programs, you can go to bodybyboyle.com. Well, I think it's appropriate. We talked last year in her first year as head coach, me being from Stoneham and her being from Reading, Mass. We were just talking about Dynamic Sports, and he's been a longtime sponsor of many of my programs, Mark Daugherty at Dynamic Sports, right there on Main Street in Reading. My guest is no stranger to Dynamic Sports and way back in her early days of hockey. And great to have the head coach from St. Michael's, Megan Swayze, coming on to join us. Megan, great to have you back. Great to talk hockey with you again this season.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a good shout-out to my friend Mark there too, so I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Dynamic Sports, one-stop shopping for hockey. You knew that all the way back to the beginning of your career, I'm sure, when you were first getting up on ice there, so being able to play the game. And well, this is year two, and I remember we talked last year, and the excitement that you had being able to come back and now to be 10 years invested in the program, and now to be all of a sudden, hey, you're back and you're the head coach of the program, you get elevated. What about obviously record wise? I mean, record wise, anybody could look up the record right now. It's obviously not what anywhere near what you'd want it to be. But I got to ask you, education of the coach, development program, how you look at this program. I want to get your take on where you are overall, the big picture in year two, as opposed to maybe the vision you had for this program, knowing it was going to take time to get things up and running.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we just went through sort of like a little bit of a dry spell there, and we weren't putting any goals in the net, right? So I think that is such a momentum shift in the game. So if you look at our record, transparently, we've got some bigger losses there, some 5-0s, some 6-0s, et cetera. And I think, part of that is just not scoring and swing the momentum in game. But we've made some adjustments here coming back second semester in the last couple weeks. If you look at our record, the games are much tighter. And I like to say to the players, as we're building a program, sometimes it'd be two steps forward and one step back. And I think we just took our one step back, and we're on the way to taking two steps forward here. So I think we're really focusing on the offensive side of the puck. We definitely need to cut down things like shots on goal against, keeping people outside the house, all of that, which is part of our goal set moving forward. We kind of have three or four things we're planning on really honing in the rest of the year, one of which is cutting down those shots again, and the other of which is just working on some breakouts and entries and just general possession things that will lead us to victory here, hopefully, a couple more times before the end of the season. So, I don't know. It takes a lot to build a program, and it's been fun so far, and I, again, really appreciate the opportunity. It's nice to do it at a place you care a lot about, and really proud of this group. And I know that, it's really hard to be in the position we are in the win-loss column, but I'm sure that the group can see, the progress that we've made, especially in the last couple weeks. So,
No doubt the last couple of weeks really jump out. And as I got ready to talk to you, I looked at the results and looked at the games. And, I mean, the last four, the two at post, and then the last two at home with Sacred Heart, which included your senior day. Those games all 4-2, 2-1, 4-2, 3-2, 3-1, much different. A huge departure, and it would seem to be a quantum leap forward in just how competitive you've been and how you've been in all of them, and you've been in all of them right down to the wire, right to the end. That's a big turnaround.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's just building some confidence. I think transparently we had a couple non-league games in there that had us up a little dip in confidence there in the middle of the first half and then towards the end of the first half. And then honestly, one of the biggest turnarounds for us, I think, was actually Clarkson, ironically. We came back after break and played them, and it felt like we just came back from break and we're doing these things that we're like, oh my God, we've been practicing all this stuff, and it's sort of come together against one of the best teams in the country. So I think while it took another week or two for us to get our legs under us, I feel like that series of games was pivotal for us, regardless of the score. It really helped us play fast, and one big thing we've been working on, especially kind of taking a look at first semester as a whole, is just, like, we got really, like, oh, my God, and, like, freaking out, like, the puck is a hot potato, and we've been working on, like, possessing the puck a lot. Like, you know, very basic and very simple, but, like, if they don't have the puck, they can't score, and we are more likely to score, right, and being more strategic and not always just flinging low-quality shots on net, like, trying to get inside the house a little bit more, get inside that scoring chance area. So keeping it pretty basic, but just having the goal of, like, we want to have the puck on our stick, like, instead of looking to just kind of throw it out of the zone, throw it away. We made a couple adjustments, minor adjustments to our D zone, and really honed in on a couple things after watching, like, you know, over break, you kind of neurose when you're the head coach, the position that we were in the win-loss column, so I rewatched every game probably multiple times, and we just, like, made a couple, like, minor adjustments that I think worked out pretty well for us so far, so.
And looking on the offensive side, your best contributors are obviously our players that are going to be, you look to, they're going to be a cornerstone for the program here going forward. Case in point, Brianna Jarvis, she's had some good offensive moments recently. She's a member of your sophomore class, as is Alicia McDonald. She's a member of the sophomore class. You bring in a freshman with Kyle Weatherin, who's comes in as a freshman now to contribute. So, you know, that alone is the fact that the core group of freshmen, sophomores that you have been responsible for in the last couple of years to build around, I'm sure that that's encouraging to see their progress on the offensive side.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've done such a great job, and, like, it's, you know, they always want more, and we want more, obviously, on the board, but
sure.
They've really sort of taken they're learning and they're growing. Like, it takes time to sort of figure out the pace and kind of my expectations as a coach, et cetera, and, like, what we're looking for. And I think we're all starting to sort of speak the same language on a lot of stuff. And then additionally, like, yeah, to your point, like, we are a pretty young team. I only have four seniors graduating. One of them is a goalie, and then it's one D and two forwards. So, you know, it will have a big core group that's coming back and people to build around and add to. And I'm excited about the group that we're going to be bringing in for next year. And hopefully, you know, next year we'll start turning some heads a little bit. Not getting ahead of ourselves, because we have a lot of games left here, including playoffs, which is exciting. So we're looking forward to seeing what we can do the end of the semester as well.
In addition to what you have as far as some of the players that begun to develop and emerge and contribute up front, boy, the number that jumps out, I looked at Maddie Quinn, your junior defenseman, credited with 104 block shots. I don't know about the bumps and bruises there. You played the game, but wow, that's a huge number to see in terms of her ability to sacrifice as one of the leaders of your D Corps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she just eats pucks all day. We kind of poke fun at her a little bit for it. it's great though. I mean, even just within our team, she has so many blocks. But I think we talk a lot about, especially in, like, as we're trying to change the momentum and the energy. I'm big into energy. I kind of can feel the shift of the game. I'm into energy plays, and those are the types of energy plays, and that can kind of help shift the momentum, and that's kind of a role that she's taken on over time, and just making sure that, like, it's good time and place, and, you know, those sort of, like, last-second kind of, like, I don't want to call them desperation plays, but at times desperation plays are things that can change the outcome, right? And just, like, you know, you block it forward, someone's getting it, you're going up ice on a 3-on-2, you know, all of those little things. I think everyone is on the same page that those little things matter. Like, somebody's come up to you, if you just touch their stick and the puck a hair, like, you're disrupting their skating pattern, et cetera. Like, you could change the outcome of the game with something as little as that. So everyone knows that the extra inches matter, and I think Maddie definitely understands that.
No doubt. I was going to say, that's a buy-in there, Coach, when you see that in terms of being able to sacrifice and set an example, set the tone the way that she has. Your goaltender,
yeah, absolutely.
No doubt. I remember we talked about your goaltender last year, but it just fascinates me that, I mean, wow, just the career minutes leader now for the program, and just passed the 3,000 save mark, first in the new high to ever achieve that. Annika Lavender, she's a Minnesota native. Unfortunately, she's a senior, and she's going to depart, but I mean, looking at what she's faced, and particularly, like you said, that just grueling non-conference schedule that you had, and what she had to handle and what she faced. I mean, and a 920 through it all, a 920 save percentage, just remarkable. And she's quite a story. I think that's a story that people should, have more publicized than it is, I would say, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. She actually just interviewed with someone back home too about it. Actually, that day, interestingly, we were glad we played first on Saturday because she and Hurdle from Franklin Pierce were battling it out to reach 3,000 first, but we
Ah,
got there
okay.
because we had the earlier game too. And I don't know the Hurdle that played on Saturday, but she's an amazing. She's an ultimate captain as well, and just like. So much respect for her gameplay, and just like I've known her for several years, like even before I started back as a head coach here. Like I kind of knew her a little bit outside, and she just like has really come into her own in terms of her confidence level, and just like being confident in her own game and not trying to be a style goalie that she's not, and just relying on her technique and her patterns and all of that. And I think she's added a little bit to her skill set in terms of kind of making those last minute kind of like more desperation saves. There was a sequence that posted a couple weekends ago that was just insane. I was like, all of us were like, I cannot believe that didn't go in the net. And then to have McKenna dance also. Be jumping in, and she's made so much progress, and looking forward to her seeing a little bit more time here moving forward, but being able to dip her into some games and get her some experience and watching her game take off. She's had some amazing games as well, so that's been cool to see. And then next year, you may have noticed that Dave Marinus has not been, she's been dressed, she's not been playing. She's chosen to redshirt. She had an injury, so we'll get her for an extra year here as well, and hopefully be in good shape with our goaltending moving forward between her and McKenna. So super excited about the future. We'll miss Annika for sure, but we've got some good, really good goalies coming up the pipeline as well, and that's always great to have back there. I'd love to give him a break with a few fewer shots per game, but
Right,
other than that,
exactly. Yeah, that's right.
They're ready for the challenge.
No doubt to be able to step in. And also, just to point out, we'll just to talk a little bit in a moment here about what you have coming up this week and down the stretch. But just the fact that you've already shown the ability, Megan, your contacts. I mean, we talked last year about your Girls 4 program, and you've had obviously exposure and interest in the game from a number of different levels that you can bring to it in this role now as the head coach. But yeah, Western Canada, Western United States, let alone locally to New England, you're obviously you're looking, as everybody has to, you're looking everywhere. But it's one thing to look everywhere, but they're buying the message too. The St. Mike's Hockey, you were not going to be getting players from Western Canada unless the message wasn't a sound one for the prospective players.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been. I'm definitely getting my that I'd say I'm getting my feet wet with the recruiting piece for sure.
Sure.
Just trying to, I think it's just as important to make sure that players are in this program specifically for sort of the right reasons. And I've said this on sort of other interviews too, but we're a little bit different than other Division Ones, and it's a different experience. And making sure people understand that, and making sure that, we might not have all the fancy bells and whistles that other Division One programs have. So, like, if that's why you're here, like, maybe it's not the right fit for you, right off the bat. And then also just like making sure that we have that buy-in, like people that are about to take 108 blocks for the rest of their team, right? And I feel like
Exactly.
over time we've developed questions to sort of like get to that pretty early in the process, so that it's not just about the talent level, and especially as a team that, isn't like comparatively as well resourced as some other programs, just like getting people in here that understand that and also are here for a lot of different reasons and want to be part of the change, not just to say that, oh, I played Division One hockey. Like, I need people here that are ready to commit. They want to do the extra every day, and they understand that everyone from the bottom of the roster to the top roster, like, needs to get better while they're here and commit that improvement individually, but also as a team, and just have that buy-in. So that's been a huge part of kind of looking around and, the recruiting process. And there's other factors, obviously, that go into it too, but just, like, really kind of honing in on players and talking to coaches too, talking to families, making sure that you're doing your background research to get the people in the door that really want to buy in and who, like, transparently, like, we're going to do some development work with you. So I want, ideally, like, people staying here for 4 years if possible, right? Like, the transfer portal is a thing for sure for everyone. And just getting people to buy in and be ready to be a Purple Knight and commit to it and help us change things around here. So that's kind of the strategy we've taken, is just, like, trying to find the right fit personality-wise as well.
No doubt, so important to have the right fit and just, to be on hockey, the right people. And I just, my final comment, getting to know you and having a chance to talk to you the last couple of years, is I never underestimate the factor. And you look around in college hockey, and there's so many coaches, Division I level, men's side, women's side, that come back and have the opportunity, and if they do have the opportunity to coach close to home in terms of their alma mater and where they played, and you fit into that category. You know what the experience is like as a player, what it meant to your life, what the whole St. Michael's is above and beyond just the hockey in terms of academics and socially and all the rest of it. And I just think that's a vital element as you put this message forward, that you can really, that message really resonates, I would think, coming from you.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I truly believe that, like, but I want, again, we're Division I ice hockey players, and that's what we're doing, but also, like, I want you to be a well-rounded person, like, I want you to go to class, like, you're here for academics, too, like, I want you to be, our team's very involved in community service, like, I want you to give back, that's a huge thing at St. Mike's in general, and I want you to have other experiences outside of hockey, so I think the benefit of sort of our and kind of the self for us is, like, yes, this is your job, you're playing Division I hockey, but also you get to have some balance and you get to have these other things and you can come out with, like, a really great education. And there are people that want to just go to school and play hockey, and that's fine, but maybe that means it's a new spot for you. So
exactly,
sending that message and being transparent about it and, like, laying out the expectations right off the bat. And like, I also am pretty transparent and being like, it's totally okay if it's not for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
it's finding those right people. And to your point, like, I do think I am very enthusiastic about St. Mike's. Like, I wouldn't be back here if I wasn't. And, I had a really great experience here, as I've said before. And, I believe in the school and the product and the mission. And I can speak to it as, kind of having come out the other side of my education here and, just talk about, like, how I have all these skills that I now can put to work both in this position as head coach, but also, mentioning, like, in my small business that I have as well. So, yeah, it's fun to be able to talk about, and it's a great place to be. So.
no doubt. And, you will leave campus this weekend and, finishing up, heading out on the road here to Assumption. You'll be down in Worcester. Your thoughts getting ready to face the Greyhounds this weekend to try to continue to build on what you've done the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're a really good team. The big thing for us is just it's always striking a balance of, like, sticking to what we've been working on and sticking to our game, but also making those small adjustments kind of going into the weekend for whoever we're playing without losing sight of, like, who we are and who we want to be. So, I think we've been, they score off the rush a lot, so just making sure that we're not breaking down in our systems at all, and, and the big thing is, like, possessing, and again, getting on the board, like, the big thing is just getting on the board for us, and so that we don't, like, the wheels don't fall off, basically, and so that momentum and that energy does shift, throughout the game, and the big thing I'd say for us as well, unfortunately, is, like, we got to stay out of the box. We've had a lot of penalties the last several weeks for a variety of reasons. But I think just, like, trying to stay out of the box. But our penalty kill has been doing an excellent job. So, some penalties some penalties are going to happen, and it's all right, and then we're confident we can make it through. But being able to stay 5-on-5 or have you know, some power plays in there would be helpful for us too.
Yep.
And it's also nice to, like, obviously some of our games we travel, like, it's nice, like, Assumption isn't super far, so I'm always excited to go only, like, 3 to 3.5 hours away instead
exactly.
of, like, our longer journeys to Connecticut and Long Island.
Oh, yeah, 3.5 is, that's, yeah, you know, that's an easy one. That's like you barely in on the bus. 3.5 is opposed
to... Yeah, it feels weird sometimes because yep. you're like, oh, my God, we're already here.
The others that, I remember you telling me last year, you got, what, 7-8 hour trips, and then if you throw in some winter weather sometimes...
Ooh. Oh my yep. gosh, this past year was particularly not good. When we came back from LAU, we had like a 10-hour drive. We were going 20 up 89, and there were accidents and a lot of other story there, but it was a long one. So
well, safe travels to you and your team here this weekend as you head down to Assumption, and hopefully some success there as you're continuing to build. You've certainly come close, particularly the last couple of weekends. And just best of luck overall as you look to build this program in your image here, Megan. So great to have you come on again here today.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. It's always nice to be able to talk about St. Mike's. And, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season here.
Indeed. Megan Swayze, our guest here. Our coach's profile this week. We profile St. Mike's. Here on Inside the Neuha. Inside the Neuha is presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. And for more information about all the programs at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, go to bodybyboyle.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Neuha, presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, voted one of the best gyms in the country by Women's Health Magazine. For information on all their programs, go to bodybyboyle.com. I'm Caitlin Beal, joined today by senior defender Emerson McGillis of St. Michael's. Welcome to Inside the Neuha. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much, Caitlin. I'm super excited to be here today.
Yes, me too. Now, one thing that I saw that was very, very interesting on your profile is your dad is also a very big hockey player. He played 9 seasons in the NHL. So what was it like growing up with your dad also so big into hockey?
I mean, my dad's such a humble guy. Honestly, I probably didn't really understand that he was a pretty cool guy until maybe like middle school. But I definitely saw that he played some hockey and I was like, oh, I'd like to try out what dad did. But mom was sticking me in dance, so I didn't really get to do that until like grade 6 or 7. But yeah, it was really cool having him to look up to, especially when I figured out how great of a career he had.
So it wasn't like from the second you were walking, you were on skates?
No, not at all. I was not forced into it at all. My dad has been like super patient and just totally on my timeline and so supportive. But once he figured out I was like into play and ready to go, he was just there to support me every step of the way.
And you mentioned you did like some ballet growing up. I also saw a lot of other sports you played, you know, high school, basketball, volleyball, touch football, tackle football. What was it like balancing all of this?
Yeah, well, the dance didn't last long. That was mom's thing, and then I kiboshed that. But in high school, I tried to be an all-around athlete. I had some great teachers in high school who just kind of, like, supported me doing all the sports and coaches as well. It was just such a great time, like, making all my friends and leading some teams. And it was a really good break from hockey as well. I think that helped me realize how much I liked it, getting the chance to play other sports.
Was hockey kind of your main sport growing up?
It was, yeah. So I went to high school in Canada and the club sports in our high school in Canada were really not serious. Like everyone kind of had an opportunity to play a lot of things, which I know my like teammates from Minnesota and stuff, that's completely different. But my high school sports were completely set aside from my like hockey I did.
So what age did you start really getting into hockey?
I was grade 6, so I think that'd probably be around like 11, 12. I was kind of a late starter for sure. And I had to get into it pretty quick, but as soon as I started, I absolutely loved it.
Did your dad was he ever your coach growing up?
He was actually, he's always like been on the bench with me, obviously until college, but even in juniors, there wasn't supposed to be parent coaches. And I remember the coach giving me a call like, "Hey, Em, is it okay? Are you okay with your dad's like on the bench?" And it was a like no-brainer for me. I loved having him on the bench with me.
No, that's great. What type of coach was he? Was he the type where he just wanted you to have fun? Would he give you feedback?
He definitely was a big feedback coach, but in such a positive way. I mean, all my friends that I played with growing up like loved him on the bench and were so sad when he wasn't going to coach them the next year. It was always you come back to the bench, he tell you what you did wrong, and then give you another option to like figure out how to fix the problem. So he was a great coach.
No,
He
that
really
sounds
was.
great. And then you're doing it growing up. At what point did you realize, oh, I could do this in college?
I mean, it kind of was always, it started off as something really fun, but I'm a very competitive person. So right away, like when I kind of figured out there was an opportunity to do that and seeing older girls getting the opportunity to go to school for hockey, in my head, automatically that became like, that is what I'm doing. And I'm like, yeah, it was in my head. That's what I'm doing. And I figured out how to make it happen. Like, I mean, everyone does, chasing their dreams, working hard.
What originally brought you to St. Michael's?
During COVID, I was kind of like looking at every team, every option I had. And I didn't really know about the Neuha League, but one of my friends actually on Stonehill, Gracie Sacca, she committed to Stonehill. And so I started looking around the Neuha and I saw St. Michael's and I started texting with our former coach who isn't here today, Donovan. And he had me come for a tour and I just like absolutely fell in love with the area and specifically the school and just the team culture they had here.
How would it compare, Vermont to where you are? I think you're from Ottawa, right?
Ottawa, Ontario, yeah. It's definitely more of a smaller community. I mean, Ottawa's kind of, it is a small city, not a small city, but it's not like a huge city like Boston or Toronto or anything. But it's definitely a lot slower here, which I really like. And it's just a great college town. I mean, downtown's like 10 minutes away. We have like three or four other schools right around us. So it's very safe and just a great fun spot to be.
About how far would the drive be from home to there?
It's only about 4 hours, which was great for me, who was a very homesick freshman. So I was home on the weekends lots, and especially for my parents come to visit me and watch games. It's been really good.
Fair enough. And I'm sure it's nice having, your family being able to be there to support you see these games, especially when you're further away from home.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I know that team chemistry is very important. So, is there anything in the area that you guys like to do outside of practice or games to bring the team together?
Yeah, I mean, we love like watching our movies at the house. Just recently, also, we went to, I forget what it was called, but it was like a golf simulator place. Our coach like did a little team bonding session there, which was really fun. We have Church Street, which is our amazing downtown area. So we'll just go like walk down there, grab a coffee, some bagels. And then the springtime or summer when we get here, it's super, super warm. We have beautiful, gorgeous lakes with all the mountains. So we'll go hang out on the beach, throw around a football, swim. So yeah, lots to do here. But
Right.
we make whatever we do a fun time. We have a really good group.
Yeah, sounds like it. You guys ever go hiking?
We actually don't because usually when we have our off time, it's always wet season. But
Oh.
that's definitely on our senior bucket list for sure this year to
What
get
else
in
is on
before
the senior
we
bucket list?
graduate. Oh, I don't really know. I guess that's it for now. Just the
Not a very
hiking.
long list.
No, it's a little one, very achievable.
No, that's fair enough because it's also my senior year. And whenever something I see, I'm like, oh, that's on the list, but could I actually name out everything on it? No. Now, as part of the leadership team, you're one of the team's captains. How would you describe your leadership style?
I would definitely say I kind of lead with love and getting respect through being kind with others. I've never been like a big voice in the locker room. I've learned that as I've spent my years here for sure and maturing, but definitely just making sure I'm there to support everyone and making sure everyone knows that they have me in their corner. And definitely the way, like how hard I work, I would say.
Is there anyone whose leadership style has kind of helped to shape you or inspired your own leadership style?
I would honestly say my dad. Yeah, I think I'm very similar in the way with my dad that he's not a big talker, but in the way he does things and his actions, that's how people see that he's there to support them and just how he believes things are to be done. So I think I've really followed in his footsteps that way.
Yeah, for sure. Now, this season, obviously it's a tough spot to be 1-25 on this season. So how have you had to step up, as part of the leadership team, as a team captain, and keep people motivated and moving forward?
I mean, as I mentioned, we have a really great group of girls here, and the one in what you said is very difficult to go through for sure for any athlete because we're competitive and we don't want to lose. But this group of girls, I really believe, is super special because it takes a very unique individual to be able to keep pushing, working every day, going to the gym, practice, even just being positive, like on the ice and wanting to be there and still having that drive. So I definitely think that our group and the way we've handled it has been making it still fun and also allowing us to still compete in games.
Is there anything specific you guys do to try to find a balance between having fun on the ice and also being competitive?
I mean, I just think working hard and competing against each other, I mean, that's when we have fun. When we are competing in games, when it's a close game, that's when we are having a good time. So, yeah.
Now, in practice, leading up your next series, what has been something you guys have been working on as a team?
Definitely lots of passing and keeping possession of the puck. In our games, we want to have a little bit more flow to our game. So that's kind of what we've been working on.
Is there anything you've had to adjust throughout the season, like line changes or strategy changes?
I would say some strategy changes. They kind of differ on who we're playing. But I mean, every year we have a new group come in. And as you know, college hockey is just kind of every year it's a new team because we have so many girls coming in. And so I think definitely like our forecheck, our ozone forecheck, and our D zone has changed immensely just on like the different talent that we've had. But other than that, yeah, I think just knowing that we got to work hard every game, and that's what we're planning to do, and we have done.
Yeah, for sure. Now, a four-year member of the team, how has, like, overall outside of hockey and just as a student, how has it been balancing being an athlete and a student?
I feel like we get this question a lot, and honestly, I don't really know the answer. I just feel like when you're in it, you just kind of do it. You're in survival mode a little bit, but I think myself, and I mean, I've talked to my other teammates about it, like we wouldn't want it any other way. Like doing this has just been such an like amazing experience, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, sometimes honestly, being busy, you kind of thrive in that environment and you just get it done.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like in the summers when I have like I'll have a job and I'll be working out, but not having that like automatic stress all the time, I get more stressed because I'm like, what do I do with my time? So I guess I like being in the fight or flight a little bit.
I was gonna say once you started saying that, I'm like, that just sounds like you're in fight or flight all the
Yeah,
time.
that's my state, preferred state, I guess.
Well, now on a bit of a more positive note, the Winter Olympics are coming up. So, is there anyone in particular that you're watching? I mean, are you like supporting Team Canada, obviously?
Yeah, supporting Team Canada, but my favorite player, Hillary Knight. I'm really
Okay.
excited to watch her. I love her. I've always loved watching her since I was little. So I'm really excited to see her and also figure skating. I've been seeing a lot about figure skating on like my social media, so I'm excited to watch that. And like knowing how to skate, not in figure skates, but just like on ice in general, like seeing what they do. I don't think people who can't skate like don't understand how difficult that is. So I'm excited to watch that as well.
No, for sure. I remember when I was a kid, I never played hockey, and so I'm not a very good skater. And I would see figure skating and be like, oh, that's so easy. I bet I could go do that. And then I try and it does not go well at all.
Oh yeah, no, we'll be messing around like trying to spin and we can't even do it. We're like falling all over the place.
No, I
So
was gonna ask, do you think like you could do a jump if you really tried?
oh, probably, but not very well.
Does it also really depend on the type of skates? Like, if you had figure skates, do you think you would be more likely to?
Oh, definitely not. I don't
Okay.
think like I think figure skates are harder to skate in. I don't even know if I could skate in them. I've never been in figure skates before.
Fair enough. Well, maybe that's a new thing to add to the senior bucket list. Try figure skating.
Oh, maybe I might end up in a cast or something.
Maybe after season, the
Yeah,
season.
after season, postseason, I'll take up figure skating.
No, but definitely the Winter Olympics should be great. I know I'll definitely watch some Alpine racing. Very excited to see some of the United States do that. But yeah, any other sports you're really looking forward to?
I also like the speed skating. Everything's very skating themed, but I think that's really impressive as well, just especially how strong their lower bodies
Yeah,
are
for sure.
really spectacular to see.
Yeah, a lot of skating sports to look forward to. But just kind of looking at this season as a whole, your senior year, do you have any goals you want to achieve before you graduate?
I mean, I'd love for us to get another win down in our belts. And I mean, if not, I'd just love to end the season off and everyone feeling like we gave it our best run and that we had very competitive games in the last six games we have left in playoffs as well. So yeah, just end off having a great time and being super competitive with my team.
Yeah, for sure. A great goal to have. Well, thank you so much to Emerson McGillis for joining us this week on Inside the Newha, presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, voted one of the best gyms in the country by Women's Health Magazine. For information on all their programs, go to bodybyboyle.com.